Tonight is a very, we started last week, the start, and I want to put up on the board the New Testament as we know it. This is the books of Matthew through John. And this is a chart we've used for time and for eons. And you have the book of Acts, and then Romans through Philemon, which are the 13 books that Paul, your apostle, wrote. And then you have the books of Hebrews through Revelation. Now, we're basically back here. And John the Baptist, this book of John, but John the Baptist started out the ministry calling people onto repentance. That's what he was doing. There was no Christ on duty. There was no Savior there. There had been no death. He hadn't even shown up. He's out baptizing. And, you know, the thing that I want you to get is the more information you have, the better and highly qualified you would be to discuss this with anybody. And I think that this is very, very important when you start to talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. If I lined up, if I had the wherewithal to get a Church of Christ preacher, Assembly of God preacher, a Baptist preacher, a Methodist preacher, a Presbyterian, whatever, you know, the rest of them, and we got them up, what would they tell you to do? And some would say, okay, the Church of Christ would say you need to be baptized in order to be saved, that you couldn't be saved without water baptism. Then you'd have the Methodists say that you need to sprinkle and christen your children to keep them in the faith. Then you have a Baptist that would say what you need to do is be baptized following Jesus in believer's baptism as a testimony of your salvation, right? Then you have the Assembly of Gods or the Pentecostals believe you get water baptized, and then you would get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then on and on. And so you would have the group of people up here, and they would all speak different things. Now, here's the dilemma. The dilemma is not everybody can be right. Somebody's wrong. So how do we as believers know what is right, what is wrong? How do we know? How do we compare? I mean, I had a lady that lived right down the road from me, said she went to Fraser, not because of the doctrine, but she loved the choir robes. Now, here's a hint. You probably ought not to pick a church based upon choir robes. You ought to pick a church based upon the closest to the right doctrine in the Word of God. That's why you pick a church. Most people pick a church based upon their parents. My daddy, my granddaddy, my great-granddaddy, and so I am. And that's true. That's kind of how we follow it up. When I finally, I was raised Methodist. And I can tell you, I absolutely knew nothing in the Word of God. I'll never forget the first time I met Brother Moore. And I was with my lovely date, Miss Brenda Hampton. That time it was Brenda Holloway. And she sat next to me and he said, turn to the book of Romans. I've got to tell you, 25 years ago, that I had to actually look in the index to find out where Romans was. I had no clue. Finally, he got to the book of Matthew, and guess what? I could find that. Then he said, turn to the book of Philemon. By who? I had no clue, and I was 24 years old and had gone pretty much every Sunday for about 15 to 16 years of my life, and I had no idea what was going on in the Bible. You all understand? And so when we get to this thing about baptism, I am not trying to teach the Church of Christ doctrine or the Baptist doctrine. I'm trying to show you what the Word of God says, and you decide. I'm like Fox News. We report, you decide. And I'm not trying to persuade you one way or the other. But I think when you hear all the facts, then you got to ask yourself, am I getting taught right doctrine? And what really bothers me, especially, are Hannah's. We got two Hannah's. Hannah Square, that's what I'm going to say. Hannah Square and Seth, they would believe their parents, no matter what they said. You know what I'm saying? So getting the right doctrine in, their parents aren't trying to deceive them. They're trying to give them the right doctrine. But they need to be taught to study and to evaluate and to be free thinkers. And so let's just get started again. I'm just going to review the first three that we mentioned. And the first one's in John chapter 3. I mean, on Matthew chapter 3. And it's John. And I want you to read with me in verse 5. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5. Matthew 3, verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized of him, of who? John, in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, you understand that this baptism has to do with fleeing the wrath to come and repentance. Look what he says in verse 6 again. And were baptized of them in the Jordan, confessing their sins, Israel's sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, what's the issue with John? There's wrath coming upon the earth. And he's sent to call the nation into repentance. And it's John's baptism unto repentance. And he says it well in verse 11. Look in verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto what? Everybody, unto repentance. What was John the Baptist's, it was in water, obviously, it was in the Jordan. But it was water baptism onto repentance. But hold on, repentance of what? Christ dying for their sins? Do they even know Jesus Christ at this point?
No.
So this water baptism could not be the baptism that the Baptist would say after you believe in Jesus Christ, because they don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Zero. So I want you to write a note. I want you to get your notepad out. In the back of your Bible, you've got some note pages. You're going to want to take these notes. You got your Bible pen, Jeff? Good. Got your Bible pen on the internet? Grab your Bible pen. Number one baptism, the first baptism in the Bible is John's baptism unto repentance. How do we know that? Matthew chapter 3, 5, and 6, and verse 11. Write that down. What is it called? Baptized unto him, of him. It's the baptism of repentance.
Would that be repentance of having not kept the law?
That would be, they've gone into sin. Absolutely. And that's going to change later, so that's real important to know.
You said the first one's baptism of repentance, right?
Right, that's John's baptism. And you got that in Matthew chapter 3. Verse 5 and 6, and Matthew 3, verse 11. You also have it in Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and 1 John 1, 31, and mentioned in Acts 19, 1 and 2. Let me give it to you again. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Matthew 3, verse 11, Luke chapter 3, verse 3. Don't spell it out, just LK would do. John 1, verse 31. And the only other mention really of it that is of significance is Acts 19, 1 and 2. Now that's John's baptism. I want to turn to Acts chapter 19 and notice that these people don't know anything about Jesus Christ when Paul sees them. They know nothing but the baptism of John. Very interesting. Again, a proof to the fact that John's baptism did not include the Lord Jesus Christ. Now watch in Acts chapter 19. Now Paul is at Ephesus, and he comes to Ephesus finding certain disciples. Now I'm going to start in verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you have believed? And listen to this. This is very, very important. And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And so Paul's going, what do you mean, disciple? What's going on? He says, and he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And you'll want to write in your reference Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 and verse 11, right there in your Bible. Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Y'all with me? And verse 11. See, these people didn't even know about the Holy Ghost. So that Pentecostal water baptism, then the Holy Ghost, would that have worked in this case? They had no clue what was going on. They'd been baptized in the water, but they hadn't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. Now, why would they have mentioned that? Go back to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 again. Watch this. Now, the reason that question is so important and should be acknowledged, and why I didn't go to the other ones, or they're very much the repeat of the testimony here. But that one is a very important one for a number of reasons. They didn't know that Jesus Christ had come. Why? Look what he says in verse 11. John saying this. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he in your passage put out to the side is the Lord Jesus Christ. The he that he's talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he, who? Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How many baptisms is that?
Three.
So I'm going to put a circle here. This is the entrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. John doesn't know when it's coming yet.
What does he mean by fire?
I'm going to get to that. Good question, though. That should be a question everybody's asking. He says, he that cometh after me, here he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm just going to put the Lord Jesus Christ coming, and he's going to baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, what have we heard about fire?
Don't sound fun.
Well, see, they think it's Pentecost. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what most people teach.
You go back to Acts 2 where it said the fire stood on their head.
That's right, Acts chapter 2, that's exactly where they got it from, and on. But Jeff actually picked up the right connotation to that. You got the Holy Ghost and with fire. So we got John's baptism, we got Jesus Christ coming later with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Why would Paul had asked those disciples in Acts chapter 9 whether they'd received the Holy Ghost?
Because they were supposed to receive it. They were baptized with the...
They were water baptized with John. And what was John's message? He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with a what?
Holy Ghost.
So what did they know about the disciples in Acts chapter 19? They didn't know about Jesus. For had they been, they would have wanted the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Y'all with me? I know that they didn't get it because John's message is, he that coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Verse 11 is tricky if you don't read verse 12. Verse 12 is the key of verse 11, whose fan is in his hand. Now, that is not a baseball fan. That is not a ceiling fan. That is a winnowing fan. And a winnowing fan is a very large scooper kind of thing with a handle on it. And you pick up the wheat and you dig that shovel in and you throw the wheat up in the air. And the heavy wheat goes where? Falls down. And the chaff that is breaking off starts another pile over here. Wind blowing this way. Y'all understand? The winnowing fan. They take it and they dig into the wheat or the barley or the whatever, and they throw the wheat into the air. What happens with the good wheat? Falls down. And guess what loosens up? The chaff. And by doing that process over and over again, guess what happens to the chaff?
Makes a big pile.
It makes a big pile, and the good stuff is over here. Now, this pile will dwindle down because some of it will be in that pile. You all with me? Yay or nay?
Yay or nay. I have a question.
Okay.
Referring back to Acts where Paul asked them, the disciples, had they been baptized, or did they know about the Holy Ghost? And you said that they didn't because they didn't know Jesus yet. But if Paul is asking the question, Jesus has already come.
Yes. They could have been on a journey out of the land, got baptized with John, gone somewhere sailing, dropping off spices or something, and not even knew that Jesus was there.
But my question was, Jesus walked and talked with the disciples and all. So why didn't he baptize them with the Holy Ghost?
Oh, these are not the disciples of the 12. You're talking about the 12. Those are disciples that were onto John, and they didn't even know Jesus. They were believers. Disciples are believers. Y'all are disciples. You're not the 12. That's right.
Okay.
Thank God. All right, y'all with me? That was a good question. I can see the confusion there. All right? So, disciples that were mentioned in Acts chapter 19, just to repeat and make sure everybody's got it, were they Jesus' personal disciples? No. They were disciples under John, just like your disciples of the Lord here under the administration of Paul. Okay? Now, go back to verse 12. Matthew 3, verse 12. whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. And he will gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The mention of unquenchable fire has to do, like in Hosea 13, verse 3. Look there for a minute. Go to Hosea. If you can't find Hosea, go to Daniel and back toward the back of the book, one book, and go to Hosea 13. Now, Hosea, the whole book of Hosea is a book of judgment. Y'all understand that, right? And it is the lowest part of Israel's existence. God is about to clobber them for their rebellion and their whoredom. Okay? He's going to lay it out. And it is definitely coming. In Hosea 13, verse 3, look at what the Bible says. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passes away. Now, let me ask a question. Would it be good to be the dew and that passes away? No. You want to be the grass that hangs around. The dew just evaporates. It goes bye-bye. As the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney. What do they do with the chaff? They burn it in a chimney. The chimney, they burn it up. That represents hellfire. It is the lake of fire in Isaiah. Look, if you will, in Isaiah. Look in Isaiah 66 for a minute. See, I believe the fire that is unquenchable is not just hellfire, but it is the lake of fire that burneth what? Forever and ever and ever. I'm going to give you another reference on it. The baptism of fire. See, Israel is going to either be baptized with the Holy Ghost, or if they reject Jesus Christ, they're going to be baptized with what? Fire, and that fire is not a great baptism. And I want to get a little bit into the definition of baptism after we lay them all out. Because baptism, there are two basic Greek words for the word baptism. It's a transliteration. There was no American word or English word that would translate. So they just put, instead of baptismo, which would be the Greek, they put it in a spelling for English, which is baptism. So it's a full transliteration, yes.
So after baptism of repentance, the baptism of the Holy Ghost?
And with fire. Right. We're going to get a little more in-depth here now. So do not just let your mind drift. Stay focused, because this stuff is important. Have you learned anything yet today? Isaiah 66, everybody there? Verse 24. By the way, there are 66 books in Isaiah. Each of them represents a book in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. Isaiah is kind of an overview of the Bible. You just might want to put that as a side note in your mind. Isaiah 66, verse 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be what? That matches Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. The baptism of fire. The fire that shall not be what? Quenched. Y'all with me? So you got Hosea 13, verse 3. Isaiah 66, verse 24. Matthew chapter 3. All those are blending together. Y'all with me? Who is going to get the lake of fire? All that have transgressed against me. In this case, the chaff would be who?
Israel.
They call the Israel the wheat. Talks about harvesting. He said, don't look upon the field and say, hey, 4 months. He said, the harvest is ready right now. All of that was coherent with the doctrine of the baptism. One last place. Go to Revelation. One last thing on the lake of fire. The judgment, what they call, and I'm going to mark this on the board. At the end of the thousand-year millennial reign, I believe every element on the earth is going to burn. Every element is going to burn. This is the great white throne judgment. Okay? At the end of the thousand years. And I want you to go to, where did I say, 19? Revelation 20 is what I want. I want verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the thousand years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are the four quadrants of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, and on. Come on over in verse 11 now. Watch this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it. And the him I would recommend is the he of Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, that comes after I. One that comes after I. His shoes I'm not worthy to bear. I bet that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those. Now watch. Out of those things were written in the books. I believe that's the King James Bible. According to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. I believe that's the Crystal Sea. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. I believe that's the temporary fiery place, death and hell. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell, which is where Israel that rebelled and transgressed against them would be in prison, were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And you know what? The lake of fire will burn for how long? Forever and ever and ever. Jehovah's Witness goes, well, I don't believe in hell. Then believe in the lake of fire. And the reference is that you want here in your Bible is what? Isaiah 66, verse what? 24. The Crystal Sea is a frozen tundra between you and God right now and the scientists. You know why? I believe a God that wrote and created the heaven and earth.
Amen.
And wrote it down.
That's right.
Now, go back to Matthew chapter 3. How have I done on the first three baptisms? You got it? Now, those three baptisms, I don't believe, are for you at all.
That's right.
So people say, well, I believe there's only one baptism in the Bible. What do you say?
No way.
No way. Let me show you. What would you say? Matthew 3, 5, and 6. Matthew 3, 11, and 12. Right? Say, I know there's more than one. Because you know what? There are certain churches that teach us there are only one baptism in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Church of Christ believe that. They believe it's water. Now, I'm not trying to pick a fight with the Church of Christ. I'm just telling you that they believe it is. Is that true, yes or no?
No.
And that water baptism is the death, burial, and resurrection. That doesn't work with John's baptism. He doesn't even know that Jesus isn't even on the scene when he's doing it. Right? So we can kind of... Hey, listen. I believe in your intelligence. I believe you can figure this thing out if given all the facts. The problem is you've never been given all the facts. Therefore, how can you make a proper decision of anything? Now, spin of their denominational thoughts and stop it. We can figure this thing out if we just sit down and study the Bible. What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everybody, one more time. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See, you get Bible memorization as well here. Now watch this. Go on to Jesus' baptism. And Gene asked me a good question about that. Why was Jesus baptized? Does anybody remember the answer?
To fulfill all righteousness.
To fulfill all righteousness.
And to make him manifest to Israel.
And make him manifest to Israel. Now, John's confused in this whole ordeal. Because John knows that his baptism won't help him. He needs the baptism of the what? Holy Ghost. Y'all understand? John has a need of getting this one of these two baptisms, and I'm sure he's hoping for this one. Amen? He doesn't want this one. So look at the conversation. Matthew chapter 3. I'm going to start in 13. Is that okay? Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest thou to me? That's interesting. Why did John need his baptism? He needed the Holy Ghost, guys. He needed that. Why? He knew those were going to be the ones that were brought into the what? Garner, and not the shaft that was burned with what? Unquenchable fire. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now, And here's the line you need to underline in your Bible. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him. I've never seen anything like this. People that follow Jesus and believers baptized, I have never seen this happen. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. Now, I believe that he actually got baptized with the Holy Ghost right there. He is the Holy Ghost. He's the Father, but it's descending down upon him like a dove. Y'all understand? He's been water baptized right here, right? So Jesus took of a water baptism, right? And as he came straightway out of the water, the Spirit, well, how does it say, the Spirit of God? Descended down on him.
And even the movies you see that's got that in it, they show an actual dove. And it's not a dove, it's like a dove.
Exactly. Very good point, Don. And then he gets baptized unto death. Three baptisms. That's interesting, isn't it? But whether you believe he got baptized here or not, doesn't matter to me. I believe he is God manifest in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three in one. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. That is a fundamental to the truth and the sanctity of the Christian faith. Jesus is God. Now, lo, a voice from heaven saying, lo, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Well, you know, I've never seen anybody partake of that baptism ever. Have you? I've never seen that. I've never seen a voice come out. I've never seen lightning come upon him like a dove. I've never seen that. Jesus' baptism was very specific. For what reason? To fulfill all righteousness. And then Terry added the thing to make him what?
Manifest.
Well, he was to be the high priest, which had to be
purified, and the purification. Now, we're going to get into purification toward the end of this subject. But that's exactly right. What Mac just said is very, very important. Did you all get that? He said he had to be purified and set apart as a priest. And remember I mentioned last time how the temple was set up? Y'all got this winnowing fan down now, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
A priest that was not washed would not be fulfilling all righteousness. I mean, he would be...
That's exactly right. And before the priest could do duty, there was a sacrificial 5x5 altar out front. Then there was a laving, and that laving represents purity. And they wash their feet and their hands and on in the laving. And then they could enter in to the holy place. In the holy place, there was a table with two stacks of bread that had six breads in it. How about 66 representing the 66 books of a King James Bible? Fascinating, isn't it? Over on this, the candlestick had seven candlesticks. Why did you need that? Well, you need the Holy Spirit to understand the Word of God. You can't see without it. But the priest couldn't even go in there to service unless they had been washed. He is the high priest. Now, let me tell you, when the high priest entered in, once a year, he would have to do the service, and then he would walk back into the holies of what? Holies. And inside there is a cherub, mercy seat with the cherubims over it, and they would take the blood of a heifer and shake it onto there and cover that ark with blood, which represented a grave, death. And they should shake that blood on that until it was covered with blood representing you, representing Israel, representing sinners. They wouldn't be representing you in Israel, but ultimately is a picture of your redemption as well. And before that high priest went in there, he had to make sure his robe was right. He had to make sure his sins were confessed. He had to make sure that everything was in perfect order and that he would go through the ritual perfect. Because if he went back there unprepared, what would happen? He'd have been consumed by the holiness and the righteousness of God. Pretty good stuff, huh? Guys, listen to me. This stuff is good stuff. You can put this in your pipe and smoke it. It's good. It's good stuff. Purification. By the way, how did the Sadducees and the Pharisees know to go out to John's baptism? Who'd ever heard of baptism?
They had heard that there was going to be a kingdom of priests.
Exodus 19, 5 and 6. That's exactly right. So all of this was being set up. And they were all prepared. Hey, listen, when John starts calling them out for water baptism, they know what's going on. But John says, look, I'm not doing the thing that you need. What you need is he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he shall baptize you with the...
Holy Ghost.
Oh, come on, that was pitiful. And he shall baptize you with the...
Holy Ghost.
And with fire. And then Jesus himself gets baptized. Why? To fulfill all righteousness and manifest himself to the nation. Why? Because he was coming after him who's mighty, and he had to show that you had to be water baptized. They believed in two baptisms at this point. One was with what? And the other one was with the what? And they're basically teaching that. There's three baptisms that they mentioned, but the fire is a negative baptism that you don't want. A lot of Matthew chapter 3. Amen?
I wonder why he didn't say oil with fire.
Well, I think it was self-explanatory by verse 12. I mean, 12 really is the explanation for verse 11.
He was meant to set the calling with fire in it. Did they really turn to that fire?
Probably.
Boy.
I mean, guys, people don't know what's in the Bible. I went to church for years. I was lost as a ball in high weeds. I didn't know what was going on. How many here have learned something about baptism over the last couple weeks? Okay? If you didn't know, how would you know? I had no clue what was going on in this Bible. When Brother Morris started showing me this stuff, I was like, wow, where did he get it all? He's a genius. I tell you, it is absolutely amazing. I'm sitting out at lunch. You know, the program's been running 7 years, and so I took my wife and mother-in-law. I always like to treat my mother-in-law because I want to be in the inheritance. You're going to leave some things for me when you die? A lot. I'm going to treat you good. We go out to eat, and so we're at Captain D's on Zelda Road. And the guy sits over right in front of me. I'm facing him. We're in a booth, and he's in the booth facing me. We're facing each other. I said, you're a real Alabama fan. He had a big A on his thing. I thought that would strike up a conversation. And sure enough, he did. And he says, I know who you are. I've seen you on television. That's right. Buddy, as more we talked, he tried to witness to a girl, and he was lost as a ball in high weeds. But I thought about this a little bit. He was zealous, and he was out there doing what he thought was the work of the Lord. You know what he told this lady? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then once you believe that, you better confess your sins. Well, I said, don't you believe your sins have already been paid for? He says, you're a universalist. I believe that Jesus Christ, at one time, on the cross in 33 A.D., paid for everybody's sin.
Amen.
But I do not believe everybody's saved.
That's right.
I asked him, I said, what are you going to do? Okay, let's say you found out you got sin. How are you going to get them back on the cross again? Who said that? Gene, you get an extra hug after class. You're not. You can't get them back on. If he didn't pay for it that one single time, there is not going to be another time that he's going to go, okay, I'm going to die for Jeff's sins now. He paid for sin once and for all.
Amen.
The problem is people don't know that. You know who didn't know it? That guy didn't know it. You know what Paul says? Mark them which cause so you have us for an example. For many walk at whom I've told you often and now tell you even weeping that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians chapter 3. Okay, don't be impressed. If somebody could have said, amen, that's right. You know, like tired or something. I told Brenda I was a little energetic today. I don't know. Guys, listen, there's people saying all kinds of things about baptism, but they ain't so. They ain't so. Let's try a couple more, shall we? I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. Now, Jesus got baptized in water. Amen?
Amen.
But before you go we'll go to Luke chapter 12 and back up to Luke chapter 3. Luke 3, verse 3. And he came into all the countries round about Jordan, preaching baptism of repentance for remission of what?
Sin.
Now, you know that matches Matthew chapter 3, verse 6. Amen? So you need to put that in there in your Bible. But we know in the context that 11 came right after 6, right? And 14, there's right there too, right? Where Jesus got baptized himself, right? So in Luke chapter 3, even though it doesn't say it, in that part we know that this is where it would happen. Okay? same parallel to Matthew chapter 3. What happens in Matthew 3, verse 14? Jesus Christ is baptized in what? Water. Y'all with me? Go to Luke chapter 12 now. And look in Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire upon the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened until it be accomplished? Well, he had already been baptized with water.
And the Holy Ghost.
And if you see that, the Holy Ghost, I'd go with that. So how many baptisms did Jesus take up? At least two, if you don't include the Holy Ghost in 15 and 16 there. This would be number two, which is how many baptisms? Two, at least. I believe there's probably three there. I believe he was baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's the baptism into death, into death.
No water.
No water there. So that brings me up to what does the word baptism mean?
Identification.
Yes. Let me get, there are two Greek words basically. That's one, and that's two. This one means to dip or die. This one means to immerse. I want to give you another thought of baptism. Doesn't say it in the Bible, but I believe it's what it's trying to explain. Baptism, you may want to write this down. This is profound. It's coming out of my mouth. You know it's worth writing down. Here we go. I hope you could hear the chuckles on the line. Otherwise, that was not very funny. Everybody's like, hey, look, I'm taking on the denominational systems with half the brain tied behind my back. Here we go. Baptism means to be identified with. Now I'm going to show you the synonyms and how they can work. To be immersed. What would that mean? To be completely overtaken. Overwhelmed. What happens when you die something? Or dipping and dies? It goes all the way through.
It comes identified with what it was immersed in.
Y'all understand? The two definitions in the Greek are to dip and to immerse. Well, if you think of that in logical terms, it's to be identified with. If I took grape juice, and we all know grape juice stains, right? And I took a piece of cloth and I immersed that cloth into that grape juice, what would you expect?
The cloth is going to look like grape juice.
So look like grape juice and identify. Y'all with me? When it says Jesus Christ was baptized into death, what does that mean? Means he was immersed into death. He was identified in death. He became part of death. He took on death. He was stained like death. Okay, you guys are staring at me like I'm an idiot. Oh, y'all getting it? God's going, they finally caught on to that boy. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I mean, to die, D-Y-E, not D-I-E, to die something, you become one with it.
Right. He died that death for all the world.
God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. There was death. These two words, all of them are translated in your King James Bible as baptized, baptism, that kind of thing. Okay, Baptist, that's an actual little bit different word, but it all comes from the same thing. When people were baptized onto John, who were they identified with?
John
the Baptist. Acts chapter 19, who were you baptized? Unto John's baptism. Who was he being identified with?
John.
Well, if he'd have been baptized with the Holy Ghost, who would he have been associated with? Jesus Christ. Why? He was come to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with what? And if you were baptized with fire, what does that indicate?
You're a sinner.
You were identified with what? The lost. You're overwhelmed with the lost. How do we get that good picture in our mind? Isaiah 66, verse 24. And look upon the carcass of the men who shall not die, and they shall be tormented day and night for how long?
Forever.
They're identified in death. And people will walk right by the lake of fire as a testimony of God's righteousness and purity. And people, they just go and do anything they want about baptism. Guys, study your Bible. Get the Word of God in you. Don't get religion in you. Figure it out. Say, I don't know, preacher. Then come to me and I'll help you see. Why? That's my job, to make all men see. Yes?
So you said that when Christ was baptized, he was baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. Is that, and did you say that goes back to what is expected of them in Exodus when, I guess, is it when
the priesthood, Exodus 19, 5 and 6.
So that was his priesthood.
Yeah.
Initiation, basically.
Yes. He's a high priest, so he has to go through the same thing all the priests go through.
But it was after order of Melchizedek.
Yeah. After the order of Melchizedek. Now,
three baptisms.
Well, it's apparent to me, some people might argue that he didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he was already God. But it sounds like the Spirit of God descended upon him, didn't it? It sounds to me like he got baptized. If you argue that point, I'd give you that. Hey, that's no big deal to me. But I know he was at least baptized twice and probably three himself. I believe that. Yes. Are you asking a part question or you want a full question?
I'm getting a little off of the subject, but you kind of got me interested in baptism of death. Because in Romans, doesn't it say we're baptized into his death?
Yes, and I'm going to explain that.
We're made conformable into his death.
Right. We are made conformable unto his death. And thus the point of regeneration, guys.
Well, it says in Galatians that we're crucified with him. So.
Well, we are.
Yeah.
Well, let me just sit down. You guys have about got this thing rolling here. You don't even need me anymore. I believe Jesus Christ had three baptisms. But if you wanted to argue that point, I'm not going to argue about that because all I've tried to show so far in Matthew, Mark, Luke that we've gotten to at this point is that there is more than one baptism. How many would agree with that doctrine right now? Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. How many think could show me at least four baptisms? How many could show me with their notes? What are they? Verse 11, that's four. See, you can do that, can't you? And you need to be prepared. Why? So that you know how to answer every man. Hey, I'm not training you guys just to... Hey, I'm training replacements, guys.
I have a few. Is it three or four?
Well, there's, so far we've gotten to five. But there's four in Matthew 3 alone. And Luke chapter 12 would be the fifth one. And if you call the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we're talking about six at this point. Jesus had three baptisms. His own water baptism. Looked like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he's getting ready to be baptized into death. That's three. So if you include that, that would be six.
So,
Dale.
So, the short of it would be that basically Jesus was baptized during that time. We just don't do that.
No, not at all. But that's going to come clearer as we go into the next one. We're going to cover the next five or six of them next week. And so we're going to have total of about 11 or 12 baptisms, depending on how you cut it.
Well, I don't understand it and kind of follow along pretty good. But if I was to, somebody was to say, well, you're going to be baptized, or how going to be baptized, without me going into this elaborate, talking about Matthew and all this, what would be the short of it? I bet you.
There's one baptism for you.
Baptized in the Spirit.
Well, I'm going to get to that probably next week. What we're going to talk about is what is for you. We're going to identify the one.
Right. Why do you count Jesus' baptism as three separate from the baptism of...
That's a good question. The water over here, where did I put it? Right here. The water was to identify him as a priest. The Holy Ghost, the ability and all that, and into death, that was actually separate. So if you combine these two, that would be okay. But it kind of represents what they were doing over here, water or the Holy Ghost. He gets water, the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe that Jesus Christ is God. But I don't believe he knew everything at every single instance, as I believe the Holy Ghost revealed it to him as he had need to be known. He walked by faith.
So the ones you talked about tonight were just baptisms of Jesus.
No, baptism of John, number one. Number two, Jesus' baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, I've only got three tonight. Baptism of repentance, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and of fire.
All right, and then Jesus' personal baptism in water, which was very unusual. It's very unique. Why was it unique?
To fulfill all righteousness.
It was to fulfill all righteousness.
And it was for him only.
And it was for him only as the high priest. That's Matthew 3, verse 14 through the end of the chapter. Matthew 3, 14 through the end of the chapter. And then you have the baptism into death, Luke chapter 12, verse 50. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened until it be accomplished? Luke 12, verse 50. So now you should have five. And if you include the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that would be how many?
Six.
You got it? All right, tell me what you got.
Fire.
I got baptism of repentance, baptism of the Holy Ghost, fire, and Jesus' baptism.
Right. baptism into death, Luke chapter 12, verse 50, which is different than Matthew chapter 3, verse 14 and 16. Listen, guys, what Jeff is doing is exactly, if you don't know, ask. You've got to get them down. Because we're going to get to how do you know next week. The reason why I want to put them all out there first.
That's baptism of death, right?
Baptism unto death.
Okay, now what's six?
That would be maybe a baptism of the Holy Ghost if you believe that's a separate baptism of water in Matthew chapter 3. I don't care if you divide that one out or not. When the dove came down.
Like a dove, it wasn't a
dove.
Well, I got
the dove for
a yeah, but it, no, okay. That's a good point. That's an excellent point. I mistaught that just a little bit. Let me make sure everybody knows. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He's the baptizer. The baptizee is who?
Israel.
And they're going to be plummeted in either with the Holy Ghost or with fire. Who's going to be doing the baptizing?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ got baptized in water, who did it?
God.
Who then baptized him with the Holy Ghost?
God.
Different than this over here. And when he's baptized into death, who does it?
God.
Does that make sense?
That isn't true somewhere. I might be wrong.
Say loud so they can hear you. But
I heard at one point that Jesus went to hell.
He did.
When
he stepped off the baptism into death, he just stepped right off the cross and out of his skin, spiritually speaking, and plummeted into hell.
And we went with him.
That is true. That is the baptism of death. He was submerged in death. If he'd have died without our sin, he would have been, what? Baptized into life.
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't have ever tasted death. He was resurrected unto life after he paid for our sins, and that's the whole point of the gospel.
It was payment enough. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. That's true. All right. I know that there's... Hopefully I will clear up. What I want you to do is study up on baptism. If you have questions, write them down. We'll try to get those, make sure that you guys are up on that. But the thing is I'm going to deal with Dale's issue next week with how do we know which one is for us today.